Okay, so I want to share with you what I call my worth their weight in gold language patterns. And why I say that seems a little hyperbolic, I know. But why I say that is from personal experiences that they are worth their weight in gold in terms of their effectiveness and fostering honest, open, non-defensive, non-game-playing conversations. And the two language patterns are what I call mention the unmentionable and then the multiple choice opener. And these are language patterns that fit into the invitation part of my declaration invitation model. So the declaration when you're bringing up an issue is the part where you declare, hey, this is what I'd like to talk about. And the invitation is when you invite into the conversation the other person. So the whole idea of inviting somebody into the conversation is how do you make it welcoming? How do you make it safe for the person to talk honestly and openly about what you need to talk with them about? And how do you make it safe for them to be able to hear what you have to say, even if the message might be a little difficult to hear? So first, the mention the unmentionable. And first, the psychology around it. When you think about the easiest example that most people can relate to is when there's something that bothers you. So we'll talk to you, okay? When there's something that bothers you, let's say that your boss does or did, and you would love to be able to bring it up and say, you know, I didn't really appreciate the fact that you did this or that you do this on an ongoing basis, but because of the power differential, you're your boss, you don't want to bring it up. We've all had that experience. Well, because of the power differential, there are things that people don't bring up. And also, if you can remember back when you were a kid, there were things that your parents said or did that you were upset about, you didn't think was fair or kind, but you didn't say anything because they have more power. They're your parents. And so when we are in a position of power, whether it's position power, like being a manager or a teacher, or simply power because of a stronger, more forceful personality, other people are less likely to speak up. Other people are less likely to give us feedback or confront us about things. And even though it might be easier to not have people give us feedback or confront us about things, there's obviously a price that's paid. So you think in your own experience as an employee, if there are things that your boss does that bothers you and diminishes your passion for going the extra mile, i.e. engagement, and you don't feel safe enough to bring it up, the feeling of the upsetness that you feel, the maybe resentment that you feel, can't help but affect how you show up at work and your level of commitment. And so when managers aren't skilled at making it safe for people to speak up about things that bother them, that's one of the big reasons why engagement levels are low, because employees don't bring up the issues that bother them and instead become increasingly less engaged. So we want to be able to make it safe for people to speak up so we can talk about and work through whatever issues need to be talked about and worked through. So mention the unmentionable refers to you mentioning, you bringing up whatever issues might be going on that they won't mention because of the power differential. So if you've ever heard the saying about the elephant in the living room, that if you haven't, that saying has been, I know when I used to be in the counseling field, it was used a lot in the substance abuse field when they're, grandmother's alcoholism, everybody in the family is acutely and painfully aware of it, yet nobody talks about it. And certainly nobody talks to grandma about it. So it's this obvious thing that everybody's aware of, but nobody talks about it. So elephant in the living room. So mention the unmentionable is a way to bring up the elephant in the living room. So let me give you a couple of examples of what this sounds like. So first, a workplace example. So when I'm doing programs on constructive conversations, I typically use this example. So let's say you're doing a performance review, and let's say you dropped the ball, okay, and you hadn't really done much feedback throughout the year. So you didn't make the performance review truly a review. It was, some of the information was late breaking news to this employee. We'll call the employee Joe. And so some of the feedback was not so great. And you really tuned into Joe's facial expression, his voice tone, to try to read how he was feeling. And you also asked him, like, how are you doing with this feedback? And at the end, you say, and, you know, anything you want to say about the feedback, anything you disagree with, see it differently. And Joe's like, no, it's fine. And as far as you can tell, he means it. But then let's say a week or two goes by and Joe's just not himself. He just seems withdrawn, not as happy, maybe even a little morose. And so you start to wonder if perhaps it's something related to the performance review, because you did give him some pretty negative reviews in a few areas. So here we go. Here's some different ways of bringing it up. So one is, you could say, hey, Joe, how you doing? Now, what do you think Joe will say? Of course, he'll say, oh, great, or fine. Because he doesn't have any indication by that whether you really mean it, number one, but also there's no indication it's okay to bring up anything about the performance review. Maybe in your mind, it's a done deal, and so he doesn't want to revisit it and perhaps annoy you. So we don't want to do that. Now, what about if you say this, hey, Joe, hey, how you doing? I'm curious, you don't seem your typical cheery self, and I was wondering if anything's going on. Now, that's obviously better. It's much clearer that it's a sincere invitation to share, and you're giving some context about why you're asking. You know, you don't seem your cheery self. So maybe Joe might say something, but again, there's no indication in that it's okay to talk about the whole performance review. So let's do option three. So let's say you start off again, hey, you just don't seem to be your cheery self. And Joe's like, no, I'm okay. Now, let's go into mention the unmentionable. You could say something like this, okay, you know, maybe I was just reading into it, but here was what I was thinking. It seemed like you've been sort of bummed out the last week or so. And I was thinking, like, is there anything going on in Joe's personal life? But then I thought maybe it has to do with a performance review conversation we just had, and, you know, some of the less than satisfactory, marks that I gave you on some things. So I was, you know, maybe just imagining it, but I was wondering if there's any sort of residual upsetness or concern about that. All right. Notice what happened. I stated explicitly my wondering, my hypothesis that maybe there was something going on related to the performance review. And what does that do? By me mentioning it, by me bringing it up, it communicates to Joe, it's okay to talk about this. Joe doesn't have to wonder if it's a taboo subject or not, because I made it clear, it's okay to talk about this. Also, though, think about the sort of the subliminal message my bringing it up delivers to Joe. When I say, you know, I was thinking about it and I was wondering, it communicates, I care enough about you, Joe, to be thinking about this conversation that we had a while back. I care about you, Joe, enough to be concerned if there was a negative emotional response, that you had a negative emotional response. So think of that, what that communicates. So that's mention the unmentionable. Now let's say Joe goes, well, yeah, now that you mention it, I was kind of bummed. It was pretty disappointing. So let me do option A. What about if I say, hey, Joe, thanks. I appreciate your, you know, being open with me about it. Yeah, I know it can be hard to get negative feedback. Now, notice that response. Now, I might feel like I'm being all empathetic and warm and fuzzy because I'm letting him know, you know, I feel your pain. But notice that it can sound patronizing. It's sort of like, excuse the language, but it sucks being you, Joe. There's a little bit of that tone that somebody could pick up on. But also, it communicates in a subtle way that I, or let's, okay, we're talking, you're the supervisor, that you already have it figured out that that is why Joe's upset, because it's just hard to hear negative feedback. And so that can communicate to Joe that that's the only boss-approved explanation or topic to discuss. So let me give you now the multiple choice. And I call it the multiple choice opener because sometimes you can open the conversation with it. So the declaration invitation, your invitation can be that multiple choice. Other times, like in this situation, the multiple choice quote opener is the second step of the conversation, because you remember the first step was just like, hey, you know, I'm curious if, you know, if it has anything to do with the performance review conversation. So that's the mention the unmentionable. Okay, so we're back where Joe says, yeah, it's, you know, it's still, yeah, I am kind of upset, kind of disappointed. So here I go. Here's what a multiple choice opener sounds like. Hey, Joe, you know, I was, you know, thanks for being, you know, open with me that you are bummed out about it. I'm curious, I was thinking, as I mentioned, I was thinking about it last couple of days, and I wonder if, are you upset because, you know, it's a drag for any of us to get negative feedback, or is it more because some of the feedback you disagree with, like you think my perception is off, or the other thing I was wondering was, is it not so much you disagree with the feedback, but how I delivered it, or another way of saying it is, or how the feedback was delivered, and you notice that's a little less personal. So how the feedback was delivered sounds less in your face than how I delivered the feedback. So it makes it easier for Joe to say, yeah, that did bother me, because it doesn't feel like Joe's agreeing to some sort of confrontational approach to you. So I'll do it from the top because I did my little aside. So is it because you know, it's unpleasant for all of us to get negative feedback, or is it more you disagree with the feedback? Or I was thinking maybe you agree with the feedback, but how the feedback was delivered wasn't particularly helpful, or something else. So notice that pattern. It's like, is it A, is it B, is it C, or is it none of the above? Is it something else? Now, Here's my belief and my experience. When we actually name potential like root causes or potential issues, gives way more permission. It makes it way safer for the other person to, you know, cop to it, if you will, than if we simply say, if you simply said, hey, Joe, you know, I appreciate you being open with me. What about the performance review was really unsettling or difficult? Now, you notice that's an open-ended question. And actually, I think that question is perfectly fine. And I would still do the more precise multiple-choice question as a follow-up. Because if you just say, you know, what about it was difficult, it's not signaling to Joe it's okay to talk about these very difficult issues. I disagree with your feedback. I didn't like how you delivered the feedback, or some other issue. So when you actually spell them out, it communicates very clearly it's okay to talk about these things. Another reason why I like the multiple choice opener, because you think about what I actually mentioned earlier in regard to the mentioned and the unmentionable. Think about what it would mean to you if your manager said, you know, I was thinking about this and I wondered if maybe you felt it was, the feedback was off base, or was it more about the way it was delivered? You sound hauntingly familiar. You think about, what does that communicate to you about your boss and how your boss respects you and cares about you? The fact that your boss has been thinking about this to the point of having several hypotheses indicates they really care about you and they care about how they impact you. So another really compelling reason to do multiple choice openers is that it communicates, I care enough about you to have been thinking about this. I care enough about you to really care about how I affect you. So that's a very powerful relationship strengthening reason to do multiple choice opener. And then the other point reason why it's helpful, and haven't you noticed this? And sometimes when you're really upset about something, especially when it's pretty raw, you know you're upset, but it's hard to put into words exactly why. Because when we're in a strong emotional state, what's called our limbic system, and so it's the emotional part of the brain, is running the show. And the limbic system is, its language is emotion, not the spoken language. And so when we're really limbically entrenched, when we're really emotional about something, we don't have words often to describe. And we definitely don't have access to a prefrontal cortex, which enables us to be very rational and logical and introspective. And so I bet you've had at least one experience in life where you were really troubled by something, but you couldn't articulate why. And then whether it's a friend, a therapist, a coach, a minister, somebody said, you know, something like, boy, it really sounds like you're really hurt by the fact that they didn't ask you, you know, for your opinion. Let's say that. And you're like, that's what it is. I'm not mad that they X, Y, and Z. I'm really hurt that they're A, B, and C. So when somebody actually feeds back to you what they think is the gist of why you're upset, oftentimes it's really clarifying. So that's another reason why I'm a big fan of the multiple choice opener, is that oftentimes helps a person logically assess what's going on with them. So maybe in this situation, Joe, in the midst of his angst-ridden, troubled emotional state, he's just saying, oh, you know, it's just so hard, you know, you feel like you're doing a great job and then your boss thinks you're not doing a great job. And man, I hate that feeling. And then when you do the multiple choice, maybe what comes up for him, it's like, you know, it wasn't so much that, it was just that my boss, when they gave me the negative feedback, which unfortunately I have to admit is accurate, they just seemed so almost like scolding about it, even though that, and that's typically not how they are, but it felt like I was being reprimanded. So in that case, it'd be the, is it C? Is it the way the feedback was delivered? And so providing potential labels for the emotions, the emotional response, helps a person sort of wrap their head around it, if you will, and have greater clarity about what's driving their emotional response. And you also notice, last but not least, that there's the sort of the open-ended last-ditch effort at getting information, or is it something else? And so you do want to always make it clear, I don't have any predetermined explanation for this is why you are upset. I have my hypotheses, which I'm throwing out to you, but you're the one who has the answer. And I also am very open to hearing some reason that I haven't thought of. And I believe the fact that you say, is it this, this, or this, those potential issues that might be awkward for even you to talk about, but signals I'm willing to talk about anything, by giving clear examples of how willing you are to, quote, go there, it makes it, I believe, more likely that the person will share any, or is there anything else, causative factors that might be driving their response. So that's an example of mentioning the unmentionable. Now, let me give you a quick example that I like to give in workshops on the multiple choice. So that was the multiple choice opener, but used as the second step in the conversation. Now let me give you an example that I use about the multiple choice being in the opener to actually multiple choice opener. And this example is from the world of personal life and more specifically parenting. And so the example I used was when my daughter Jessie was little, I don't know, let's say 5 or 6, and I wanted to get her early on used to, you know, being a good citizen, if you will, like helping out with chores, not fostering an entitled, everybody does things for me kind of mentality. So I asked her to help me do dishes. So she's going to dry, I'm going to wash. And also really wanted to establish that like work ethic. And so she comes in, she's drying the dishes, and it's clear from her, you know, size and facial expression that she's not digging this chore. Now, here's the decision point. I can either pretend I don't notice, or I could like launch into the big lecture when I was a boy routine. I was doing chores, you know, at an early age, or I could do a declaration invitation with a multiple choice opener, which is what I did. And so this is what I said. I said something like, "Hey, sweetie, I can see you're not too excited about drying the dishes." So declaration. And I'm curious, is it because it's just not fun or it's boring, or is it because you're right in the middle of something when I asked you to come out here, or something else? So you notice I immediately point out what I want to talk about, and then I do the multiple choice. Is it this or something else? Now, actually I'll say what she said and then I'll do the, now this is part. So she said, "Is this boring?" I'm like, "Yep, totally get that. Washing dishes, not particularly exciting task for me either." And then I did, hopefully, not a long drawn out explanation of why I was asking her to do it, the importance of contributing to the family, workings, and then also my feeling like my responsibility to you is to help you grow into being somebody with a good work ethic. Again, you know, age-appropriate version of that. But I also said, and this is one of the values of making it safe for people to speak up, and in this case, through a multiple-choice opener, I said, I get it if you're in the middle of something like, you know, watching a fun, video or you're reading. I get it that it's a drag to be pulled away from that. So if that's the case when I ask you to come out to do dishes, just let me know. And depending on whether I really need to get it done right away or there's no big time rush, then you can just finish it. So because we were able to talk about the, you know, causative factors, we're able to come up with some workable arrangement. So a win-win. Now, one quick thing, and then I'm going to close up here. Sometimes when, especially with the workplace example I gave you, sometimes sort of more the hardcore old school managers will be worried about giving people, quote, pre-made excuses. Like, you know, if they say, "Well, I don't agree with the feedback." Well, okay. That's fine. It doesn't, just because, and that's not really an excuse. That's, whatever. I won't go into that. But there was, here's an example that sometimes I've used it in terms of talking with somebody who's coming in late off and on and trying to find out why are they coming in late and using multiple choice. And so some of the like hardcore old school managers will think that you're, by saying, "Is it because of this, because of that," that you're giving them an excuse, giving them feeding them a potential lie, if you will. And so my response to that is like, no worries. Just because you come up with or they come up with a "here's what's going on" doesn't mean that you accept it as a done deal and like, "Oh, okay." So if Jesse said, "Well, it's just boring." Well, that didn't mean I'm going to say, "Oh, okay, you never have to do dishes again." It's like, no, it means now we've brought up the issue. Now we can talk about it. So let's say it's somebody else, another situation goes, "Yeah, I just, you know, it's hard for me to wake up in the morning. I'm not a morning person." Well, that's not necessarily your cue to say, "Okay, you can come in whenever you want," obviously. It's like, okay, now that we've got the issue out in the open, We've talked about the elephant in the living room. Well, let's work on it. But we can't work on it if we don't know what it is. So I guess what I want to be really clear about, just because you surface the causative factor doesn't mean you accept it. So let's say, I'll give you a personal example. So when I was supervising people, I made it clear that I was open to their disagreeing with my assessment. And I had one team member in particular. There were two or three areas where she thought she was doing better than I thought she was. And she had done her homework, and she was able to document. There were areas that I was simply, doing the best I could in assessing her based on the information I had, and there was more information that I didn't have, and that made a difference. So in that case, hearing her perspective changed my assessment of hers. Of her. The other thing, though, is, let's say I'm hesitating because I'm searching for a place to park. The other thing is that if you don't agree with their assessment, again, no worries at all. You want to be able to talk it out and work it out versus having this unresolved disagreement and resentment. So let's say one of these examples, this team member of mine says, I think I do great at this, and explains why, but I don't. Okay, then it's my job to be clear on, no, here's why I don't think you rocked it. And hopefully I'm not belaboring this point. The key is that if we don't talk about it, we can't resolve it. So the mentioning the unmentionable and the using the multiple choice opener as a way to get at those issues provides the opportunity for talking about and resolving these differences. So there you have it. Multiple choice opener, mentioning the unmentionable, worth your weight in gold if you want to get to the heart of issues. So I hope you find this useful. And this is one of many awesome things that you'll be learning at the Courageous Conversation and Constructive Feedback Seminar.